All right, hi everyone. Hope you're all well. Missing your faces, your voices, the banter. Welcome to the Bingham household. It is currently Friday late afternoon and I've thrust you right into the middle of the girls' dinner time. Girls, you want to introduce yourself? What's your names?
Alice and Sophie.
And Alice, how old are you, Alice?
Four.
And Sophie, how old are you?
Seven.
Sophie, describe to me what you're doing right now.
We are eating dinner.
And what dinner is it?
Chips, peas, ketchup and mayonnaise and nuggets.
Chicken nuggets. It's a healthy Bingham snack, isn't it? You have this at least once a week. We are, just a couple of days away, aren't we, girls, from going back to school, remote learning school. We've been 4 weeks since the lockdown, so I thought after 4 weeks we could review those 4 weeks. Three words to describe the last 4 weeks. I would probably say sunny.
Cloudy.
Well, it's cloudy today, but it's been really hot and sunny, hasn't it? Number two, I'd say nature. We've seen a lot of nature, haven't we? Alice, what have we seen?
Berries.
What parts of nature have we seen, Alice?
We've seen fairies and fairy glitter.
We've seen fairies and fairy glitter. Yeah, there's been a lot of debate, hasn't there, in our house about fairies, because the fairies came and visited us this week. And I'd say the final word is family. We've spent a lot of time together as a family, haven't we? Has that been a positive thing for you girls? Spending lots of time with Mummy and Daddy?
Yeah, I know.
Alice, you're nodding. It's been good, hasn't it? Okay, good. My two best bits, I think probably watching quite a lot of films with Mrs. Bingham. We managed to finally get up to date with our Avengers movies and we watched Endgame, which was pretty epic. And we've enjoyed doing sort of fresh cooking, cooking some fresh food, he says, as his children eat chicken nuggets, chips and peas in front of him. I think the one thing that I miss the most is probably the holidays that we planned over Easter. Right now, we should be returning from the Peak District and Alton Towers and the hills of the Peak District. And last week I should have been taking Year 11 to Iceland and missed out on all of that. And obviously we're still unsure about other holidays we got planned. But ultimately we can't complain too much. We're healthy, we're happy, and we're enjoying time together as a family. Well, everybody apart from Sophie is a bit meh about it, aren't you?
Yeah.
I think also the other thing that's really amazed me, and this is literally in the last couple of days, is Captain Tom Moore. I don't know if any of you have seen this online and on the BBC website. Is a gentleman who is has turned 100. I think it was yesterday turned 100, and in honour of that, he decided to walk 100 laps of his house, which is pretty difficult for him. And his aim was to raise £1,000 for the NHS. He's raised £19 million. For the NHS. I cannot believe that. I was so inspired by him that we even donated ourselves. I'm talking to the iPad, Alice.
Oh.
Is that a bit weird?
Mm.
Yeah. We're recording it. This is going out to my students.
You know they can still hear you on
this. I know they can still hear me on it, yeah. But that's fine. Just keep eating your chips.
Okay, students, enough about this stuff. Get on with it.
And that's your motivational talk from Sophie. Anyway, I was saying, yeah, Captain Tom Moore, inspirational, and also he's from Yorkshire, and we're from Yorkshire, so happy days. Anyway. Glad that you've joined us and you're listening to the podcast. Hopefully we might have a couple of these over the next few weeks as we continue to work from home. Anyway, that's enough of my ramblings. Today on the podcast, what I really want to tackle is one of the very, very big questions in the world today. Can we conserve our rainforests whilst also exploiting them for our own economic gain? Put even more simply, protect the rainforests and also make money out of them? Is that something that's possible? And so that's what I want to break down and explore in today's podcast. And you will be doing that as well through the work that you do that's set by your teacher on Google Classroom. Okay, so let's go right back to the beginning. Since the middle of the 20th century, there's been this sort of war, if you like, between two opposing sides. It's a war that appears inevitable because the wants of the two opposing sides seem to be what we would say is mutually exclusive. That means if one side gets what they want, the other side cannot get what they want, and vice versa. I'm talking about the international debate over the fate of the world's tropical rainforests. And this arose really in the 1950s and 60s when scientists really proved the critical importance of the rainforests for a whole wide variety of reasons. But most importantly, their role in regulating the global climate, because they absorb carbon and they produce oxygen. And also because they're a huge, huge source of biodiversity. Let's remind ourselves that 60% of all life on Earth exists in rainforests. You lose the rainforests and you'll lose more than half of life, half of all life on Earth. For me, that is an astounding statistic. Now, for many of you listening now, raised in the 21st century, in a post-industrial and environmentally conscious UK, it's a total no-brainer. Preserve the rainforests, create protected national parks, save the jaguars, you know, police these areas, punish those who damage them. Simple. But it's not that simple at all. That's why the issue persists. Now, at the heart of this war of opinions regarding the rainforest, there are really two schools of thought, the two sides. Number one, the Conserve the Rainforest group that many of you and your family are likely to sit in. Or number two, the opposite, exploit the rainforest for economic gain. And this is a view that's often supported by the majority, if not all, of the populations in places such as Brazil and Indonesia and Malaysia who have tropical rainforest, and therefore, by extension, often the governments that are elected into power in those countries. They're the ones that want to exploit it more often than not. Now, these two opposing sides are motivated and driven by two different philosophies and needs, and it seems that they're irreconcilable. In other words, it seems impossible that we can come to some kind of arrangement where we can both exploit rainforests, but at the same time, simultaneously protect them. Before we really get back to that point and decide whether or not that is possible, let's just try to distill or simplify the arguments of these two sides. Let's start with the conservationists, the people that want to protect the rainforests. As we've already said, one of their key arguments are that rainforests regulate our climate by absorbing the carbon dioxide in the air and creating oxygen through the process of photosynthesis. This makes them really effective carbon sinks, where carbon is trapped. Without that, we're going to see a huge increase in global warming, and that's going to significantly increase the consequences for people around the world, you know, particularly people who maybe live in low-lying coastal areas that are prone to sea level rise and sea level flooding. Second point, as the dominant species on this planet, surely humans have a moral duty to protect and ensure the existence of other species. We must learn to live in balance with nature. It's something that we have done for thousands of years, and it can be argued that in recent years, in the recent centuries, we have moved drastically away from that balance, and we need to return to it. Thirdly, the rainforest contains species that can be used for medicinal purposes, helping us fight things like cancers and other diseases. Yet many have still to be discovered. Wipe out the rainforest, you lose that medicinal cabinet of drugs. And finally, the rainforests are home to indigenous tribes who have lived there for thousands of years and who have the right to remain there and have lived in balance with this environment for thousands of years. So those four kind of key arguments sit on the conservationist side. On the other side of the argument are the economists, the people who want to exploit the rainforest. Their arguments are that every human in this world has the right to earn a living in order to improve their quality of life, because otherwise they risk poverty. Why should it be that only some people in the world get that right and enjoy a pleasant life? Surely everybody has that right. And for many in rainforest countries, their opportunity to earn a decent crust, earn some money, comes at the expense of the rainforest. The second argument, and we'll return to this later on in the podcast, is it's hypocritical of countries like the UK and the USA, etc., to lecture poorer countries, LIC and NEE countries, on not exploiting their rainforest, when these countries, our own country, has already destroyed most of the natural environment in their territories in order to grow into developed, wealthy nations. Why can't countries like Brazil do the same? They're doing it later, but why can't they also take advantage of their environment in the same way that we have? And thirdly, if we don't exploit the rainforest for things like timber and new farming land to produce more food, then people across the whole world will suffer due to a lack of raw materials and a lack of food. We have a growing world population that needs more and more resources, and many of those resources come from rainforests. So you can see that both sides have really valid arguments, and there is no real right or wrong. It's very, very subjective. It's based on your viewpoint. In recent years, I would say that the environmentalist side of the argument has gained the upper hand globally, and certainly in countries like our own. But ultimately, it's not on our land. We do not have that territory. We do not have sovereignty and control over that territory. It's the countries who own that land that decide to do what they want with it. I'd say, listening to these arguments, it also seems like the two sides, the two viewpoints, are mutually exclusive. They're irreconcilable. They're totally opposed. How do we bring them together? Because nobody wins if either side totally get their way. If the conservationists win, then millions of people could suffer from terrible poverty and all that that entails. The global economy would suffer. On the flip side, if the economists win, then the environmental damage could be irreversible and ultimately lead to more widespread impacts on people. But there is some hope. There needs to be compromise. And there can be, and there are, increasingly small examples of where this is happening. As some of the leading minds around the world have explored and debated this issue over recent decades, there has been a number of emerging different strategies that have been proposed and trialled out with a varying range of success. Fundamental to the success of any of these strategies is the cooperation of governments, both of the countries with rainforests within their borders, but also of countries around the world whose citizens often unwittingly demand the products produced from the rainforest destruction. And that includes you. Where governments do not cooperate, and governments don't understand the need for balance between conservation and exploitation, then exploitation tends to dominate and the rainforest disappears at a very fast rate. Brazil is a great example of this. Jair Bolsonaro was elected as the president of Brazil in 2018 because the people of Brazil wanted a president that would do everything to boost their failing economy and make people wealthier and better off. Part of his plan to achieve this involves exploiting the Amazon rainforest. In his own words, the Amazon belongs to Brazil, and European countries can mind their own business because they have already destroyed their own environment. It's a quote from him in a recent press conference. Not for nothing is he nicknamed Captain Chainsaw, because the rate of deforestation in Brazil is increased by at least 30% in his first year in office. Rainforest in Brazil is currently being destroyed, get this, at the rate of 2 football pitches every minute. I mean, that's scary. This is in contrast to Brazil's previous presidents, Luiz da Silva and Dilma Rousseff, who incidentally was the first female president of Brazil. Now, together, they were more willing to work with international organisations like the UN and wildlife charities like the World Wildlife Fund. Now, they oversaw a significant reduction in the rate of deforestation in Brazil by about 80% between 2003 and 2016. But now that is all being reversed. So what could we say to Jair Bolsonaro, the president of Brazil, and also other countries and other leaders like Brazil around the world who wish to overexploit their rainforests? How do we protect the rainforest and exploit it simultaneously? Now, there are several strategies which we want you to explore this week. These strategies are agroforestry, selective logging and replanting, ecotourism, reducing the debt owed by these countries with rainforest in exchange for them protecting their forest. It's called debt for nature. And number 5, and finally, international agreements that include monitoring and reporting on deforestation. Now, across all of these strategies, the role of scientific research and education is incredibly important because it helps to support these strategies as being effective strategies and sustainable strategies. It also helps people really understand the impacts of their actions. Now, I hope you enjoy the tasks that your teacher will post for you on Google Classroom. And thanks for listening to the podcast and listening to me try to sort of simplify this huge debate, this huge issue that's taking place and continues to take place. I wish you all the very best as a group. Take care with yourselves. Stay safe. Keep on learning, most importantly. Keep up the really hard work. I have to say, we've all been really, really impressed amongst the staff at Weydon. The dedication that you showed to your studies is absolutely phenomenal. So keep it up. And I sign off until next time. With love from the whole Geography Department. Take care of yourself. Bye.